Well, good morning. We're looking this morning at Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8, which we have just read for us. And before I get to, if you like, the main message I want to deliver this morning, the main point, let's just look at those verses collectively. And let's just get an outline of the circumstance in which these words were written. Paul was in prison. And I want you to see that when he wrote this letter, he was concerned for two churches, one in Colossae and one in Laodicea. These believers he had never met face to face, and yet he was concerned for them. He had a love for them. He wants them to be united. When you say that word knitted, it's to be united. Understand the gospel, that in Christ Jesus was all they needed. No pluses, no extras. And Paul here in these verses wants to encourage them. You see, Paul is writing to believers. He's writing to those, he says, are strong in the faith. And yet, although they were strong in the faith, he was concerned that those who had a different gospel, a different Jesus, could persuade them away from the true faith. He says in verse 4, I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. And in verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the principalities of this world, and not according to Christ. This was the heart of Paul. Although they were believers, strong in their faith, had a firm foundation, he realized that amongst them there was forces at work to deceive them so that they wouldn't be strong in their faith, so they would be taken away from their love of God and their love for one another. And you see, at this time, Laodicea is mentioned in the very first verse. He mentions that he was troubled, not just for Colossae, but Laodicea. And I want us to see this morning that although at this moment in time, and Paul wanted this letter read out at Laodicea, he was saying the same thing. They're both strong in their faith. And yet 30 years later, we knew the position of the believers in Laodicea. Because Paul wrote this, they reckon, in about AD 60. John wrote his letter, Revelation, or his book, Revelation, about AD 90. And we have the letter from Jesus to the church at Laodicea. So in those 30 years, something had dramatically changed in those hearts of those believers. Something had dramatically made a difference. As we shall see as we look at this letter. I don't know if you noticed, but Paul says in there how orderly they were. They were in order. That just means they were in good shape. He said there was a good order there. So the church at Laodicea, church at Colossae, in good shape. And one, I think we should say the first thing is, believers and churches can be in good shape. They can be strong in the Lord. But we should never take it for granted. We should not be arrogant that it's always going to be that way. This was the heart of Paul. He says in verse 1 of chapter 2, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many I have not seen face to face. And in chapter 4, he says this, for I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you and those in Laodicea. Luke, the beloved doctor, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and the church that is in his house. Now, when this epistle is read among you, see that it is also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. Many scholars think the epistle from Laodicea is all but called Ephesians, because Ephesus is never mentioned. It's just a speculation, but the book of Ephesians could be what Paul is referring to there. It's very similar to the book of Colossians. And do you see? Well, it is. We know what happened to the believers in Laodicea. We know how they ended up because the letter in Revelation from Jesus tells us. And therefore, what I want us to look at this morning is what happened in those 30, 40 years. What happened? This is God's, if you like. Paul in Colossae, AD 60, is saying, church at Laodicea, strong in the faith. They're good believers. They're in good shape. And then Jesus says in Revelation 3, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, to the church at Laodicea. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, but because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, there's a misunderstanding about what hot, cold and lukewarm means. It's all to do with the water. Laodicea was by a great flow of water, and with the first people who reached it, it was boiling hot. So it was lovely to have a spa in. Me and Jill visited Bath, and they've got hot springs there where the Romans used to bathe in the hot water. That's what Jesus was referring to. Isn't that water lovely when it's hot? The last people to receive the water, it was cold. How refreshing to drink cold water. So Jesus is saying, hot is great. Got a use, is effective. When it's cold, it's great, it's useful, it's effective. But between those two points, those in the middle got lukewarm water. Not much good having a bath in. And if you drank it, it made you sick. And Jesus said, Christians, believers, who have lost their effectiveness, they might have all the outward appearance of being a believer and a Christian. But once you lose your effectiveness, that's what he says is being lukewarm. God wants people who are effective. So what we're going to look at this morning is what happened? What went wrong? What happened to these believers who were once strong in the Lord, effective and useful, to where Jesus says you're lukewarm and you make me sick? What happened? Well, I think the clue is found in verse 6 of Colossians 2. As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so they've received Christ, they're born again, they're Christians, so walk in him. Other versions put it this way. Since you have received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in him. Continue to walk in him. The word continue is not in the Greek. But when you translate the Greek word walk, or live, is what they call a continual tense. It's ongoing. So basically, they've put in the tense of the word to continue. Ryan, would you help me? Come stand to the front. I'm going to explain it. He's no worried. Can I ask you to stay there and walk to that garden back? You see, he's very good. Yeah, just to that. In fact, that'll do. Now walk back. Give him a round of applause. He did that very well, didn't he? Now, can you walk without moving? No. You can't walk without moving. Thank you. That's all I want. You can't walk without moving. So when Paul says that we are to walk in him, live in him, you've got to be moving. It's not standing still. It's a moving, continuous word. You've got to be growing. You've got to be continually following him. This is the key to what happened to Laodicea. They'd stopped walking. They'd stopped living in him. They'd stopped. They might have still met on Sundays or whenever they met and had prayer meetings and that. But as a group of believers, they were no longer walking or living in Christ. You know, Jill has this book at home and it's walks around Wales. And do you know what they've all got in common? They all have a start and they all have a finish. Some are short, some are long. And I was thinking about this. When we receive Christ, when we're born again and repent and believe, there is a start of a walk. Ryan started his walk there. there is a start. This is what Jesus said. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in it by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. You see, there's a start to this walk. And Paul, when he's writing to Colossae and writing to Laodicea, is saying, continue your walk in him. Continue living in him. You've had a start. You've gone through that gate. And that gate or door is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me. So, there's a start, isn't there? There's a start through the gate, a start through the door. And it's a narrow way. It's a narrow path that we are walking on. Now, I didn't give Ryan very far to walk. He had to walk a few and come back. But our walk in him, for some people, is years. And years. And you know, there's a guy in the Old Testament, and there's a beautiful verse about him. It's about Enoch. And it says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. What a wonderful walk. You're walking in him. You're living in him. And Christ might come back, or he might call us to be with him. But I want to tell you, there's an end for this walk on earth, and there's eternity with the Father. And he wants us to reach eternity with him. He wants us to complete the walk. This walk that we have started. And Paul mentions walk four times in this book of Colossians. So we should look at them. This walk we're on. And he says in chapter 1 and verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is the walk we're meant to be on. A walk that pleases him, a life that pleases him, a life of righteousness, a life of love, a life of kindness, a life that increases in understanding and knowledge of God. What Paul is doing by using this word walk is that when we start the walk, when we start the life, we're not meant to stand still. We're not meant to sit down. We're not meant to go off in opposite directions. And that's what happened in Laodicea. And then he says in chapter 3 and verse 7. He says, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived. What he's saying there is, we start a walk that pleases him, a walk that is righteous. But it's different to how we used to walk. It's different to how we used to live. We are a new creation. We're adopted into his family. Once our father was Satan, now our father is God. We're now seated in heavenly places. There's been a shift. There's been a change. There is now a difference. Once we were heading on a path that would lead to an eternity without God, now we're on a path that leads to an eternity with God. And he said, this is your life. This is your walk. And this is what we have started. And Paul's heart, if you read those verses again, he wants to encourage the believers in Colossae and in Laodicea. He wants them to continue in living in him, continue in walking him. He wants them to continue in the faith. And sad as it might sound, by the time that John got the revelation and that letter to the church at Laodicea, it would seem they hadn't put this in practice. They were not living for Jesus. You know, Paul says in Ephesians, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. If we're going to walk in him, if we're going to live in him, if we're going to have effective lives, if we're going to continue, then we're under a different kingship. We're in a different kingdom. And all Paul is saying is, you've started well, you're strong, there's order about you, you're in good shape. Walk, live in him. He also said, walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside. So we've got a responsibility to those who are not yet Christians. And if we're going to walk and live in Christ, we'll encounter those who don't know him. And part of walking in him and living in him is sharing the good news, sharing the gospel. But aren't you glad that this walk is not a lonely walk? This walk is not a walk you do by yourself. I was tempted to sing You'll Never Walk Alone, but I thought that it's not quite appropriate. It doesn't really fit in. How, what do I mean? Well, Paul tells us in Romans, the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled for us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is called a helper. And he's there to strengthen and help us in this walk. He's within us, filling us with power and ability to be effective. He says in Galatians, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you see? I see a distinction. I see a quite clear dividing line. We're either on this narrow path leading to an eternity with God, walking in the Spirit, walking in righteousness, walking in him, or we're walking on that broad path that leads to destruction. And Paul says, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, if you've started and you're in good shape, continue as you are, living and walking in him. And there are other little pictures that we are given of this walk. And I'm just going to mention them because I want to get to another point to speak. But Jesus said, if we say we have fellowship with him, John says in 1 John, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. What had happened at Laodicea? He says in the book of John, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. But if we walk in the light as he is light, we have fellowship with one another. Laodicean Christians were not in fellowship with God. How do I know that? Because Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He was outside of the church. That letter wasn't for unbelievers. It was addressed to the church. And he was saying, if anyone opens the door, I will come in and have fellowship with them and them with me. He was desperate to have fellowship with the believers at Laodicea. And according to the book of John, they were not in the light. They were in darkness because they were not fellowshipping with the Father. In 30 years, they were in good shape, in faith. And in 30 years, they were rich and wealthy, had all designer clothes, and they looked wonderful, beautiful people. And Jesus says, you think you can see, you're blind. You think you dress well, you're naked. Why? Because they were not continually living in him, which means a relationship with him, fellowship with him. If we're going to walk in righteousness, if we're going to walk in him, if we're going to walk worthy of which we're called, it means we're in constant, continuing relationship with the Father. And we have the Spirit in him. And we walk in light. How do we know we're in the light? Because Jesus is the light, and we've got fellowship with God and with one another. You know, this verse is read at many baptisms. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we walk in newness of life. Can you remember when you was a believer? The excitement of having your sins forgiven, the enthusiasm you had, the newness of life. And sometimes as we get a bit older and longer, that newness seems to fade away. Now, I'm not saying we should recreate that every day, but being a believer, being a Christian, being forgiven, it should be fresh every day. It should be new every day. We should be, you know, if you've got one of these coastal walks and you get up in the morning and you look at the plan for the day and you get excited for the walk you've got, the things you're going to see, the things you're going to do, well, you should get excited about the path you're on the day with the Lord Jesus Christ. It should start fresh and new. Ryan, I want you to help me again. I want you to act a little bit. He's getting worried now. I want you to do the same walk, but with a limp. That's it. You can sit down. That's how some believers are. Because their relationship with God, their relationship with one another has been affected by sin or by living or by situation, by circumstance. Something has happened. And instead of walking in the newness of life, they're still walking, praise God, but there's a limp, there's a struggle. And this morning, I want to take the encouragement of Paul. And God wants to take the limp away so that we can walk in newness and freshness of a relationship with God and with one another. There's a destination, an eternity with God that we are heading towards. You know, Keith has problem with his knees. Mac has problem with his knees. I have problem with my knees. They ache and that, and they affect how you walk. Our relationship with God affects how we walk. Our relationships with one another affects how we walk. And Paul said, see to it that you continue to walk and live in him and take note of what happened to the Laodiceans. And do you know what? God is asking of us the same as he asked of his people Israel in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy said this: Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You see, it hasn't actually changed, has it? We've just got the Holy Spirit to help us. We've got more revelation to love him. You know, if you're not keen on walking and somebody tries to make you walk a coastal walk, you might not be very happy about it. You might not like walking that much. You might think, oh, I don't want to do this. Our walk in him, our living in him, is out of love, not duty or obligation. We need to walk because we want to. We want to walk because we've got a desire to. We walk because we're enthusiastic about it, because there's blessings from God and they're on the path. And he says, walk. But you know, a walk with him is not always easy. I won't do this. I was going to put chairs in Ryan's way and to illustrate that there's obstacles in our way sometimes because we have difficulties. We have problems. I'm going to read Psalm 23 for you, just one verse, but put it really maybe how David meant it. Even though I walk through the darkest times, I fear no evil because you are with me. He's with us on the walk. When we walk in him, when we live in him, he's with us. He's got a rod and a staff to protect us. When we're followers of Jesus and we're in a dark place of testing and trial and temptation, he's with us. You know why? Because he wants to get us to the end of the walk. He wants to get us eternity with the Father. And David knew this. Because in verse 6 of Psalm 23, he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what's at the end of the walk. That's why Paul said, continue in the walk. Continue. You're in good shape, but I encourage you to continue in the walk. Well, time has escaped us. There's other things that we should walk. We walk by faith and not by sight. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. Ephesians says, walk in love. Amos says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? And so this thing is a big subject. So how are we walking this morning? Because I'm going to believe we've all started the path. We've entered through Christ, and we're on this path, heading towards eternity with him. Are we limping? Are we struggling? Have we hit an obstacle that's actually made us sit down, but we're still on the path? Because we have a warning, don't we? We know what happened to the church at Laodicea. Jesus didn't say anything good about them. But Paul wants to encourage us to walk and live in him. And we don't really think about living in him and walking in him. You know, Ryan, when I asked you to walk, how much thought did you put into it?
Not much.
No. Your brain, actually, you just put one foot in the other, and that's sort of natural. You didn't. I want to say, walking in him should be as natural as Ryan just walked for us this morning. We shouldn't be thinking that much. But we should be in a relationship with him, looking forward to walking with him. Noah was also one that walked with God. You know, that's, it says in Lamentations, great is thy faithfulness. They are new every morning. This is our walk with him. This is our living in him. The psalmist says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor seeks in the seat of the scornful. But that's how we should be. Now, I added some verses this morning, but I hasn't added them. So there is one which is very important to us, because I thought of it this morning and I quickly added it, but for some reason it's not come onto this version. This is the original, not my revised version. And it's from Psalm 119, but I forget the verse. I'm getting old. And it says, thy word is a lamp to my feet. And I think there's something else, but thank you. And a light, that's the important bit. And a light to my path. And the reason, as I thought I'd completed it, that came to me this morning, that verse from Psalm 119, you know why? We've got the Holy Spirit to help us walk. We've got his word, which is a lamp to your path. And it sort of lights up the way before you. The word of God will tell you how to walk. It's your guidebook. You want to know how to do the coastal walk around Wales? Jill's got a fantastic guidebook. Tells you all the bits to avoid and how to do it. You want to live in him? You want to walk in him? You want to reach the destination, eternity with the Father? The Bible is the perfect guidebook. Telling you, it's a lamp to your feet. And then Micah 6:8. Which, for some reason, hasn't interpreted it for me. I've just got Micah 6:8. For some reason, it's got me rough copy and not me finalised. But Micah 6:8 says, this is what God requires of you. Go on, tell me. Yeah, that's the end bit. That's the bit I want, to walk humbly, God. We need to walk with him, don't we? We don't need to limp, struggle. There will be struggles, but he's with us as we follow him and listen to his voice. And as we started, Paul wanted to encourage the believers in Colossae, the believers in Laodicea, that they would continue to walk and live in him. And if he was writing to churches today in every city of this land, it ain't changed. He says, you're in good shape. You've accepted Christ. You've received Christ. There's a lot of false teachers around. That hasn't changed either. A lot of false traditions around. That's not changed either. A lot of false philosophies around. That's not changed either. So to keep, so that you don't fall for these, he says, continue living in him. Continue walking in him. Walk in the light. Walk in the spirit. Walk in love. Walk according to his word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.